Imagine waking up in someone else's body, your consciousness downloaded into a stranger's flesh after spending decades in digital storage. In this future, death has become a temporary condition, at least for those who can afford it. Human minds are stored in cortical stacks, cigarette-sized devices implanted at the base of the skull that record everything that makes you who you are: memories, personality, skills. Bodies are merely sleeves to be discarded and replaced. This technological miracle has created a brutal social hierarchy. The ultra-wealthy, meths, named after biblical Methuselah, live for centuries by transferring between perfect cloned bodies, while ordinary citizens might spend decades on stack if they can't afford re-sleeving. When the poor finally return, they often inherit used sleeves with lingering muscle memories, addictions, or health issues from previous owners. Our protagonist, Takeshi Kovacs, embodies this disjointed existence. An ex-envoy, elite soldiers trained to adapt instantly to new bodies, he's been needle-cast across the stars and awakens violently in a strange body. The transmission process itself is traumatic, described as having your consciousness compressed into a digital signal and fired through space at light speed. This body belongs to Elias Riker, a disgraced police officer, and Kovacs must quickly adapt to both his new physical form and the complex web of relationships that come with it. Lawrence Bancroft, a 357-year-old billionaire, hires Kovacs to investigate his own apparent suicide. With consciousness backup technology that saves his mind every 48 hours, Bancroft was re-sleeved after death, but lacks memory of his final 2 days. Despite police ruling it suicide, Bancroft insists he would never kill himself, especially not in a way that would merely destroy his current body rather than achieving true, real death. The mystery explores near immortality's psychological impact. How do marriages evolve over centuries? What happens when the ultra-wealthy can buy their way out of consequences? Bancroft exemplifies these questions, seeking prostitutes for degradation because his centuries-long marriage has become too respectful for his sordid desires. The investigation intensifies when professional killers target Kovacs. First, Dmitry Cadman, known as Dimmy the Twin for his illegal self-copying, then a team at the Way Clinic, where Kovacs endures virtual torture. Each attack suggests powerful forces want the investigation stopped, despite Bancroft's insistence that Kovacs continue. Kovacs's formidability stems from his envoy conditioning, sophisticated psychological and neurochemical training that transcends human limitations. His enhanced perception slows time during threats, allowing him to track multiple attackers and calculate responses in microseconds. During torture, he demonstrates resilience through controlled hallucination techniques. His abilities extend beyond combat to social manipulation, enabling seamless infiltration of different contexts. Yet this conditioning exacts a terrible psychological toll. Kovacs describes envoys as high-level political weapons who are bad news for everyone, trained to infiltrate, manipulate, and destroy without hesitation. This creates a fascinating contradiction: extraordinary capabilities paired with a struggle to maintain humanity. While his training allows him to kill efficiently without emotion, he's haunted by ghosts of his past, particularly his fallen comrade Jimmy DeSoto, who appears in disturbing hallucinations. Envoy conditioning manifests through perfect recall, instantaneous language acquisition, and simultaneous processing of vast sensory data, making envoys perfect tools for interstellar control, though at the cost of their humanity. The wealthy elite maintain banks of custom-grown, enhanced bodies, while ordinary citizens receive whatever recycled sleeve the state provides, often waking in bodies of different ages, genders, or ethnicities. Insurance companies offer tiered re-sleeving packages, with premium clients getting quality bodies, while budget subscribers accept whatever's available. A black market thrives in stolen sleeves and illegal consciousness copies. Criminals now double-sleeve victims, downloading consciousness into multiple bodies for forced labor or prostitution. Catholics present a unique challenge, having secured Resolution 653, which recognizes them as barred by reasons of conscience from re-sleeving. Believing the soul leaves upon death, they become a vulnerable underclass who can be truly killed, perfect targets for exploitation. These disparities create a brutally stratified society where ultra-wealthy meths observe from floating mansions. Living for centuries has transformed them into something barely recognizable as human. They've transcended not just death, but accountability, viewing ordinary humans as insignificant beings with limited lifespans. Direct neural interface technology enables consciousness to be uploaded and manipulated, blurring simulation and reality. At the Way Clinic, Kovacs endures virtual torture built from his own memories, where time dilation compresses days of suffering into minutes of real time. Yet virtual reality also delivers extraordinary pleasures. Miriam Bancroft's seduction demonstrates this. Her biochemically enhanced sleeve secretes Merge 9, creating a telepathic feedback loop where pleasure cascades between partners. This contrast between virtual torture and pleasure raises a fundamental question. If our consciousness processes virtual sensations as real, with physical responses and psychological impacts, does their artificial origin matter? The question darkens in places like Jack It Up, virtual brothels where clients indulge in otherwise impossible fantasies. The virtual realm merely reflects humanity's unchanged nature despite technological advancement. As Kovacs cynically notes, the human eye is a wonderful device. With a little effort, it can fail to see even the most glaring injustice. How do relationships function when death becomes temporary? The most complex relationship is between Kovacs and Lieutenant Kristen Ortega, who evolves from antagonist to ally and lover. Their connection is complicated because Kovacs inhabits the body of Elias Riker, Ortega's imprisoned former lover. During intimacy, Kovacs feels it's partly Riker's body responding to familiar territory. For centuries-old meths, relationships face different challenges. The Bancrofts' 200-year marriage has transformed into mutual respect rather than passion. Lawrence explains that veneration becomes incompatible with sordid desires, driving him to seek prostitutes while Miriam has her own adventures. Most poignant is Victor and Irene Elliott's relationship. When Irene returns from prison in a completely different sleeve, copper-skinned with coal-black eyes instead of blonde, her husband initially doesn't recognize her. Their emotional reunion highlights how connections depend on physical continuity. Irene later confesses feeling unfaithful by sleeping with her husband in her new body, a paradox unique to this world. Kovacs discovers that meth crime lord Rylene Kawahara engineered Bancroft's suicide after he refused to support her opposition to Resolution 653, which threatened her Catholic snuff operation. Their confrontation becomes a meditation on the value of life itself, both temporary and permanent death at stake. Double-sleeved during the final battle, two versions of Kovacs face each other in paper-scissors-stone to determine which consciousness would continue, crystallizing the arbitrary nature of identity when multiple versions exist simultaneously. The surviving Kovacs seeks redemption by funding a custom-grown sleeve for Irene Elliott's daughter, Elizabeth, because I want there to be something clean at the end of all this. His farewell with Ortega unfolds with painful authenticity. In a world where consciousness has become portable, what makes us human? Perhaps what defines us isn't consciousness continuity or the bodies we inhabit, but our capacity for empathy and connection, qualities that immortality technology both enables and threatens to destroy.